The Homeland Security Department says it's eliminated a massive backlog of chemical plants that were waiting for federal and anti-terrorism inspections. As Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu reports, previous estimates said DHS wouldn't clear that backlog until at least the end of the decade.
Congress gave DHS the responsibility for regulating chemical facilities that might be the targets of terrorist attacks or whose products might be used in terrorist attacks back in 2007. Since then, the DHS program known as CFATS, or Chemical Facility Anti-Terrorism Standards, has identified more than 40,000 private sector properties that fell under the new rules. The law also required the department to visit the ones deemed high risk to determine whether they developed adequate site security plans to protect them against terrorist activity. As of 2013, the Government Accountability Office said the CFATS regime was in trouble. DHS had more than 3,000 SSPs left to review, and at the rate it was going, the project would take another 7 to 9 years. But the department cleared its final backlogged case last week, says David Wolf, the director of the Infrastructure Security Compliance Division.
We know that facilities housing these chemicals, refineries, manufacturers, universities, and the list goes on, continue to be viewed as high-value terrorist targets in their own right, representing the potential for mass casualty attacks and symbolic blows to the economic power of industrialized society. We need look no further than Brussels, to incidents over the past year in France and the continuing threat stream, to know that this is not a time to rest on our laurels and put CFATS into cruise control.
Chemical safety was elevated on the federal government's priority list in April of 2013 when an ammonium nitrate plant near Waco, Texas, caught fire and then exploded 20 minutes later, killing 15 people, 12 of whom were emergency responders, and destroying more than 500 homes. The Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms finally concluded this May that the fire was intentionally set and offered a $50,000 reward to help identify the perpetrators. There's still no evidence that the fire in West Texas was caused or inspired by anyone with terrorist ties, but in the years since, DHS has also been working to stand up a program to screen employees who work at the chemical facilities it regulates. Wolf says the program offers several options to private sector facilities. Among them, they can submit all of their employees' information to DHS and have the department screen them against terrorist databases, or let DHS regularly rescreen employees who've already been subjected to federal scrutiny in order to get identification cards, like the Transportation Worker Information Credential.
I'm pleased to say that of the nearly 100 facilities with which we have worked on personnel surety, on the personnel surety program to this point, all have elected to go with option one and or option two, each of which entail the submission of information to the department to enable, either in the case of option one, the direct vetting of individuals against the terrorist screening database, or in the case of option two, the verification of the continuing validity of existing credentials, such as TWIC cards or hazardous materials endorsements. While other options are certainly available, there is little question but that these first two options present the strongest value proposition from a security perspective. We expect soon to even further increase the pace at which we are working with facilities to discuss personnel surety program options and to enable those facilities to update their site security plans and or ASPs accordingly.
Meanwhile, though, DHS said on Wednesday that it was putting a major part of the CFATS program on hold until it managed to complete the rollout of a new initiative meant to make its oversight more user-friendly to industry. The web-based application DHS tells chemical companies to use so it can categorize them according to their risk in terms of critical infrastructure and which ones might be terrorist targets is undergoing a major renovation. The department normally requires companies to submit new data into that system, the Chemical Security Assessment Tool, once per year. But in a notice published in the Federal Register on Wednesday, DHS said it was suspending those requirements until it rolls out a revised version, CSAT 2.0.
Now, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that this process of rolling out our new top screen submission tool and reassessing and re-tiering facilities that are subject to CFATS is going to be a perfectly smooth one. This is a significant and a complex undertaking. And while I don't expect the overall size of the CFATS regulated universe to change dramatically, some facilities will see a change in their tiers. Some facilities that are currently not covered will find themselves covered, and some currently covered facilities may find themselves unregulated. But I think we all know that as one of the foundations of the CFATS program, continuing improvement of our risk assessment methodology is extraordinarily important. It's important not only from a security standpoint, but it is important to the continuing credibility of our shared chemical security enterprise. So as we roll out the new tool and the new methodology this fall, we're targeting late September, early October for this. We're going to do so in a phased manner. We plan to reach out to a few hundred facilities every 2 weeks, Each group containing a representative sampling of facilities currently found in each of the four tiers and in our existing population of currently unregulated, or I should say currently untiered, facilities. We'll ask these facilities to submit a new top screen using the new and improved, streamlined and user-friendly top screen tool in CSAT 2.0, and we'll have an opportunity before issuing high-risk tiering determinations to review the submissions, assess the results, and ensure that high-risk facilities are being appropriately identified.
Congress has also tasked DHS to put systems into place to protect against the possibility that a potential terrorist might buy ammonium nitrate, because it could be turned into improvised explosive devices. The department was told to create a registry of everyone who buys or sells those products. Wolf says the department has fallen behind on that mandate and doesn't believe it would achieve its intended purpose for several reasons.
The primary one being that the security value to be achieved by establishing a regulatory framework at the point of sale for a single high-threat IED precursor chemical is likely to be pretty minimal. It is our firm belief that such a single chemical framework would, in effect, do little more than shift the risk. Looking no further than the recent attacks in Brussels, we saw high-threat IED precursors used with devastating effect by terrorists and seized by authorities. None of these chemicals was ammonium nitrate.
So DHS has asked the National Academy of Sciences to conduct a new study of commonly available chemicals that are most likely to be precursors to improvised explosive devices in potential terrorist attacks in the future.
To analyze how these chemicals move through the commercial supply chain and to assess the weaknesses and vulnerabilities of those supply chains, to develop a priority ranking of chemicals to be considered for control, to describe existing control measures, and to suggest voluntary and or regulatory strategies that could be used to control access to these chemical precursors. We anticipate that the study effort will begin on August 1st and that it will take approximately 12 months to produce a report that will be available to the public, and that we hope will provide the foundation for common sense recommendations to Congress.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.